Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is April 15th, 2017, and we are here live for the next 2 hours. And, man, we got a lot of stuff going on. I thought a two-hour show was a long time, but I talk too much. I just run out of time. We have a lot of great guests come on. We have great conversation, great topics, and it just gets away from me here. Now, if you guys want to sponsor me, maybe we can go to 3 hours. But I need your help. I need your support. If you want to be a sponsor of the program, make a donation, whatever, just feel free to do so. The number here at the studio, if you want to be part of the show today, is 254-697-6633. Or toll-free at 866-504-1051. Or you can email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Now, you're probably wondering, or probably saying to yourself, man, this guy is hyped up. He's just raring to go. And I'll tell you why it's so. Because if you look in the video here, I got my fresh morning Joe, and I get it from the Hilltop Sefco in Cameron. And I say this all the time because it's true. Every time I go there and get my cup of coffee every morning, especially before I do the show here, I get my premium coffee, extra large, because it tastes the same every time I go. It's not like, oh, it's too hot, it's bitter, whatever. So if you're in the area, go to the Sefco Hilltop here in Cameron and get yourself a fresh Joe of coffee, because
Texans know when you're on the go. Make it
Sefco. Yeah, how was that? Pretty good timing, huh? Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got a big show. Let me give you some highlights as to what's going on today so you can be prepared with your note-taking materials. Today, three more stories in the real life from the NRA's American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And we're going to read those. And these are great stories because we can analyze and do an after-action report. So let's all take notes and learn something from these stories that may help us in the future. In my license to carry segment, I'll be reading to you Penal Code 905, reckless injury of an innocent third person, extremely important to know. The word reckless should give it all away as to the direction of our conversation and which way it's going to go concerning this penal code. Now, after that segment, in our first commercial break, I will have on our special guest, attorney Benton Ross Watson. It's a tag team match with Benton and Rick Dodd. It's like a 1-2 punch when it comes to clarifying the law and giving us nuggets of information to help us stay out of legal trouble. So stay tuned for that one. It's going to be a good segment. My topic of interest section will go over all the events Aaron's Gun Shop and Aaron's High Cap Adventures is putting on or events they're attending in April and May. And so get your calendars ready for that one. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, will be the neat little Kel-Tec PLR-22. This is a great gun for plinking, hunting, bugging out with, or just showing it off. But like most Kel-Tecs, they're hard to get. But ANC Firearms has one now, so get it before it's gone by calling 254-983-4417. And anytime I'm hearing noise, can we shut that door? At 11 o'clock, we will once again have with us the voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon. This is a very well-received segment of the show, so be sure to crank up the volume when you listen to that one. And since your host gets very long-winded, I will try to get in my gun training segment that I missed to teach last week, which was mag changes with a pistol, and they're either technical or tactical mag changes, and I'll teach you the difference. And finally, there's a lot of chatter going on about this one. And finally, my special guest today is Stephanie Varga, wife, mother, airline pilot, and owner of Black Label Trading Company, makers of fine cigars from Nicaragua. I must say, I'm getting, like I said, a lot of positive comments from the back channels that people are digging her picture on Facebook. So check it out on my Aaron's Gun Shop website, Facebook page. And be nice. I'll put nice comments. Keep it clean. She's a great gal, and don't forget, she's the wife of my rifle instructor, and you don't want to mess around, okay? He's very good and very accurate, so be careful. All right, let's move on. Let's hit it now with the first segment here. We've got the NRA section. I want to try and get this all in today without being a windbag. The NRA section. In this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizens page, The American Rifleman, and hopefully, from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the future. So in the process here. So let me read to you. This is coming out of the American Rifleman's November issue 2016. And the first story goes as follows. You're never really too old to defend yourself. In East Point, Michigan, a 91-year-old man was getting out of his car outside of a pharmacy when he noticed a man approaching him in a threatening manner. The armed citizen declared that he was a permit holder. He waited in his car until the stranger disappeared. But when he got out a little while later to enter the store, the assailant came toward him and raised a weapon over his head at the older man. Warning the miscreant that he was armed, the 91-year-old pulled his .38 special chambered revolver from his side and opened fire, striking the attacker in the neck. "It doesn't have to be a gun or knife," said Eric Kaiser, East Point deputy police chief. The suspect had a piece of metal fashioned as a weapon. The armed citizen felt his life was in danger. The suspect was transported to an area hospital and later charged. My expert commentary is follows. Ladies and gentlemen, I must have read this story a dozen times trying to find something to critique. I can't. Every sentence in the story was correct procedure to do. The victim acknowledged there was a threat, stayed aware of his surroundings, tried to avoid the conflict, and gave a final warning, and then gave an effective shot from his revolver. And then law enforcement acknowledged it, all in a positive light for the victim. Way to go, old man. But that's how it's done, by the numbers. Pay attention to your surroundings, avoid it if at all possible, and if there's no other option, do what you got to do. Story number two. An assailant in West Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, lost his life after attacking his ex-girlfriend. The man tried to enter the residence through a downstairs kitchen window. Not one to stand idly by, the woman's new boyfriend pushed the attacker back through the window and temporarily kept him at bay. Undeterred, the assailant made his way up to the second floor bedroom window and successfully entered the home that way. The woman attempted to defend the home and got into an altercation with him. Her current boyfriend came to her defense, pulling a gun and firing a single shot at the intruder. Officers arrived, and the injured attacker was transported to the local hospital, where he later died. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, the moral of this story is, guys, do a background check of your new girlfriend's exes, okay? You may have to deal with them someday down the road, okay? Story number three. A good Samaritan came to the aid of a neighbor during a domestic dispute that ended in the death of the aggressor. In Gonzales, Louisiana, a man in his home heard people arguing outside. He went to investigate. The neighbor approached the two people, a man and a woman, who were arguing and was accosted by the male. The instigator pointed a handgun at the Good Samaritan, who in turn drew his own firearm and shot. When police officers arrived, they determined that the man who had been arguing with the woman was dead. The police said that charges would not be filed against the armed citizen, saying that he ended a dispute that might have led to death of the woman. Let's see what I wrote on this one. I can't remember. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize how much of a disadvantage the Good Samaritan was in? When someone has the drop on you with a gun, it makes you think a little. The main thing you're thinking about is, can I draw my weapon and hit the threat without him hitting me? Am I fast enough? Am I accurate enough? Am I lucky enough? Well, the big brother to luck is practice. You will have more of a chance with practice than you will without it. If you carry a weapon, make sure you train with it. And we've got classes for that too. All right, so that's the NRA segment of the program. Had some good stories there, some good chuckles. And we're going to continue to move on, and I think I'm still on track with the schedule. Once again, the number here to call at the studio, if you want to be part of the show, 254-697-6633. Toll-free is 866-504-1051. All right, moving along into our license to carry segment. Penal code 905. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a license to carry or a CHL, it's the same thing. Older persons, not older persons, but people who've had a license longer, it's probably still going to say concealed handgun license on your license. The new people who are getting licenses, it will say license to carry. It means the same darn thing. But if you have a license or you don't and you're thinking about getting one, this is an extremely important penal code to know. They're all important. They're all mandatory to know because you signed an affidavit stating that you know all the laws. But this one here, it's very important. Reckless injury of an innocent third person. Penal code 9.05. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where practice comes in. And I'm not just talking about shooting a bullseye at the gun range. I'm talking about mental training, physical training, gun training, the works. Carrying a gun for self-defense or defense of others or defense of property requires practice. In Penal Code 9.05, there is an extremely important word. That word is reckless. The last thing you want to be defending yourself against is recklessness. It's bad enough if you do it right, but doing it recklessly, oh my gosh, your attorney fees just tripled. What is recklessness in layman's terms? That's easy. Doing something stupid. That's Matt's terms, okay? We're going to have attorney Benton Ross Watson here to give me some clarification and some professional terminology for that in just a few minutes. Doing something stupid because you thought you didn't need to train. You thought getting a license, shooting 50 rounds at a non-moving target was enough. You thought paying the applicable fees to the state was enough. You thought getting a cool holster was enough. You thought, and that's the problem, you thought. There is no room for guessing when it comes to using a weapon for self-defense. You either feel it's necessary or you don't. You either know how to use the weapon or you don't. There are no half measures when it comes to using a weapon for self-defense. Shooting a gun recklessly is a ticket for disaster. So you better know what you're doing. You better know what you're doing. Take a class from me. And that's just not a promo, that's just fact, okay? Take a class from me, we go over it all in detail. And now I'm going to read to you Penal Code 905, Reckless Injury of an Innocent Third Person, and give you an idea of what it says here in the law in black and white on my piece of paper here. Texas Penal Code 905, Reckless Injury of an Innocent Third Person. Even though an actor is justified under this chapter in threatening or using force or deadly force against another, if in doing so, he also... You notice they always say he? Isn't this a gender-free society now? It's like, if the person... Okay, whatever. If the person recklessly injures or kills an innocent third person, the justification afforded by this chapter is unavailable in the prosecution for reckless injury or killing of an innocent third person. I'll read it one more time, and then we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will be talking to our guest, attorney Benton Ross Watson, expert in this area. Again, Texas Penal Code 905, Reckless Injury of an Innocent Third Person. Even though an actor is justified under this chapter in threatening or using force or deadly force against another, if in doing so, he also recklessly injures or kills an innocent third person, the justification afforded by this chapter is unavailable in a prosecution for the reckless injury or killing of an innocent third person. So, with that, we're going to take a break. We'll take a long break. And on the other side, we will be back with attorney Benton Ross Watson, and we'll be going over our attorney law segment for Penal Code 905. See you on the other side.
We play it loud and proud on the radio. This is KMIL 105.1 The Ranch.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Capolino's done.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaron.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have to cover most forms of firearms training. Or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Sentex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com. Sentex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Sentex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at SentexTacticalGear.com. Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's April 15, 2017. We just had a little trouble on the board. That's why we're a little bit delayed, but we're back now. And we're here with attorney Benton Ross Watson. Ross, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm really excited to be here today. We have really good topics.
We do.
Exciting. And something that I can really relate to is being difficult. So I hope everybody's ready. It's Easter weekend. And if you should stick around, though, because we're going to get in some really interesting good stuff here.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the Easter thing. I've got it here in my notes, and I just got carried away with the CEFCO coffee. But happy Easter, everybody. Tomorrow's Easter, like Ross said, and tax day is delayed to the 18th. I thought that might be an uplifter for people. Okay. All right, Ross, let's get to it here. And I was talking about penal code 905, and as always, I'm writing questions, and as always...
Can I interrupt? Already,
yeah.
All right, I'm saying this is a great topic.
All right, go ahead.
I want to start off. If the listeners out there, just think about what an attorney. So far in this program, we've talked about knowing and intent. We talked about situations where I feel like we gave firearms are hot. We've given acronyms. We've talked about the rules, but and for lack of a better analogy, we've made mountains out of molehills in some situations because a lot of these situations were almost common sense. When somebody breaks into your house, when somebody's coming at you to commit murder, aggravated kidnapping, sexual assault, things of that nature, it's obvious that you can use force and deadly force in those types of situations. So what we get into here is I want you to think about trying to explain reckless. We tend to understand what knowledge and intent means. We know what it means when we intend to do something or when we understand that our conduct is going to cause a certain result. But what is reckless? Try to explain that. And I think when I talk to jurors...
Can I just go ahead? Just with a basic understanding, reckless would be something outside the norms of normalcy from a reasonable person.
Okay. But aren't we all to some degree unreasonable at times. I mean, at what point is it criminally unreasonable?
I guess it depends on the jury and what they determine, right?
Exactly. And these are all fact questions. We can look at this definition under the penal code, and it says we are aware of but consciously disregard a substantial and unjustifiable risk that these circumstances exist or the result will occur.
And the most common response to that would be, huh?
Exactly. Right. And then it says, and then it tries to explain the risk. The risk must be of such a nature and degree that the disregard constitutes a gross deviation from the standard of care that no person would exercise under all circumstances. At what point does speeding become reckless?
I don't know.
And that's what I'm saying. This is all a fact question. And I mean, I'm not saying that you can't argue these things sometimes, but this is a difficulty. And so we start from here. Situations like where I'm trying to explain to a jury what is the difference between negligence? At what point do we bridge the gap from recklessness to negligence? And then what is the difference between regular negligence, criminal negligence, and regular negligence in a civil case? And so there are differences, but trying to explain this in a real world setting and in a real world context, I'm telling you, is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not at all. But remember, though, one of the primary things we're doing here in the short amount of time that we've got is to give the people out there who are going to carry or not carry a concept idea that it's not a game. There's a lot of factors that go into this. It's not just black and white, cut and dry, the whole works. You may think I was in the right, but man, it can turn around on you, right? So what we're doing is we are making mountains out of molehills to signify or show and demonstrate that when you think it's just easy peasy, lemon squeezy, it's not.
Right, and here, but here it gets even more sticky, because when you're in your home and you're killing somebody, when I asked Ms. Smith in the jury room, and I'm trying to pick my jury, I say, Miss Smith, you know, you just went to Matt Beatros and he got you licensed to carry, and you know how to use your firearm, and you're packing, right? And you're walking into a dark alley, and some big guy accosts you, right? And he's being very aggressive and ferocious and pulls out a weapon. At that point, you know that you can blow him away, probably. Most probably, he's pulling out as a threat of deadly force, and you can answer deadly force with your deadly force. Okay, and you were legally carrying, you had a right to be where you were, you didn't provoke the situation, you had a right to do that. So we get into reckless, though, and it's relevant because you don't get those justifications. You don't get, I have a right to do this, right, when you act recklessly. Okay, and you can still use the self-defense against the person, right, who's trying to use force against you, but if you kill an innocent person or injure an innocent person, while you are acting recklessly, you can still be charged with reckless injury to that innocent person. Now, you may still get a defense instruction, and you may still get the defense against the person who is using force against you. But if you're reckless, then and you hurt somebody in the process, you will be charged.
You would say that's collateral damage, then.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, and it is. But at what point are we reckless? And so we were talking about some examples earlier. And we talked about when you're in your house and you go into the room, you hear rustling, you wake up in the middle of the night, you grab your firearm and you walk in there and some guy's grabbing your stereo, okay? And then he turns around and he's got a pistol, you can blow him away in that situation. I'm not saying that's a good idea to do. I'm just saying I believe in that situation, you're never going to be charged, okay? Or hardly ever. I mean, I'm not saying never, but, you know,
right, yeah.
Possible. You're probably never going to be charged, okay? But what happens when, you know, your baby daddy or some crazy person that wants kids, that doesn't have kids, or some other individual breaks in your house and you do the same scenario, but you walk into your kid's room and the person's got your kid in the hand and they turn around and they got a gun. Oh.
That's a scary scenario that I hope nobody ever has to go through, but you have to think about it because that could potentially happen.
So, yeah, but what it, really, if you substantively, other than the person, what is different? The person is still going to kill you, right? They're going to kill you with the gun that they have. They're in your house. You don't have a duty to retreat, okay? And so all that's changed is that they've grabbed this innocent person to use as a shield, to use as a pawn to still kill you, but keep you from killing them.
So what you're saying is because the child is in the way, if the child gets hit for some reason, was that reckless? Hmm. Is that where you're getting at?
And that's where we go. And I don't want to make a comment on that because I'm saying I think that that situation would not
you
be
know, I bet a very... You, I bet you here in Texas, if that scenario happened, and somebody who's a good shot takes out the bad guy, and they both fall down, and the baby's crying, it's like, man, way to go. You do that in California, kill the bad guy, and the baby falls down and gets a scratch on him, you're going to be breaking rocks for 20 years because you hurt the child with a scratch when he fell on the floor but saved his life, you know?
Well, there's actually a case that we can talk about that's on this. So in this case, there a gentleman gets called by a woman. I think they probably have some type of relationship. She says, oh, I believe there's some weird black car over here. I'm scared. Can you come to my aid? The gentleman goes over there. This is his story, obviously. Okay, but from the standpoint of self-defense claims, the defendant's evidence is true as long as they support that, okay? So we're going off of his story right now. So when he shows up, he says his black car then takes off, and the woman with her kids in the car takes off chasing the black car. And so he says that he was trying to catch up to chase the black car down as well to run the guy off, and he just so happened to collide with the woman's vehicle, and the truck went into the ditch. Now you say this has nothing to do with guns. No, but he claimed that he was using defense of third parties. He used the justifications for deadly force. And remember, we talked about a vehicle can be a deadly weapon.
That's right.
And so when he hit the car, her car, the woman's car, the car rolled over in the ditch and it hurt the kid. And so he was charged with reckless injury to a child.
Okay.
And he was not able to use the self-defense. But here's what's wrong with that case. And this is why we have to be careful in these situations, is because the court didn't even discuss recklessness. They just said this was an innocent person. He doesn't get the defense.
Ross, why do they do that? It seems like they're manipulative. There's a roadmap, and they choose, pick and choose the road they want to take for whatever reason and delete information out. I don't understand why they do that or how they can do that.
Sometimes it's based on the lawyers. The appellate court's not going to help the lawyers make their arguments. So sometimes lawyers don't make arguments. They do that on purpose sometimes. You don't want to make just a shotgun. You don't want to just challenge everything because then they're going to think that you don't have anything. So sometimes you challenge a couple of deals and you're hoping that that's going to stick. And other times, courts make up their own rules. I mean, that's just the bottom line, and they've done that forever. But there's other cases as well
that,
where
that does not give me a settled feeling in my stomach. it really doesn't. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to defend myself no matter what. I know what I'm doing. My line in the sand is drawn. I know what it takes for me to do what I've got to do. And when it gets to that point, I don't care. I throw the law book across the room as an illustration. I don't care what's in this law book. I don't. When it gets to that point, I'm going to do what it takes to survive. Because my head's going under the bow of the boat, the line in the sand has been crossed. That red line has been crossed. Okay, and I don't care. I'm going to do whatever it takes to survive and keep my family alive.
But you act like these situations are going to happen. But I can assure the listeners that I've already had several cases where it was not involving weapons, but it was involving fists, where a child was picked up in the middle of the commotion, where another innocent party got in the play. And remember, aggravated assault. Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon even, or serious bodily injury, we've talked about that, okay, includes the regular definition of assault, which is reckless. Okay, and so it can be intentional, it can be knowing, or it can be recklessly causing bodily injury. Okay, and so then it's aggravated if it's serious bodily injury, and if it's reckless, they can use a deadly weapon, or they can cause serious bodily injury by being reckless. Okay, and so a lot of these courts are saying if you are reckless when you do cause this serious bodily injury, right? Some courts have said, well, you're not going to get the justification because this thing says that we don't get it when it's an innocent party. And if, you weren't using self-defense because it was intentional or knowing, the other person must not have been trying to come after you. And so you're not supposed to get the justification. They're all over the map here, but I believe before I go, I do want to point out there is one case. I believe it's correct. It's got a couple of cases that have fallen in line.
Before you read that case, ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very interesting. The number to the studio here is 254-697-6633. As he's reading, if you have commentary, thought process, whatever, advice, I guess. Okay. And I'm able to say, go ahead and listen because he's the attorney. So if you're smart, you'll give us a call, 254-697-6633, with a question or two, or a comment, whatever. But anyway, Ross, go ahead and read what you're going to read.
Oh, there's a case called Dugard. It's a 2015 case. It was out of Houston. I believe it was the first court. They have two courts down there. But in that case, there was a guy's brother-in-law was having a party, and it wasn't a place that I would say was very credible. It was a parking lot. It was a pretty substantial party, though, and got a little bit disorderly, and the police show up and tell everybody they have to leave. They don't have a permit. They're getting out of control. I'm sure there's some marijuana smoking going on, or maybe some drinking. You get the impression that they're not doing exactly what they're supposed to do other than just being loud. Okay, and so they say, okay, we're going to go to a park. Well, in the midst of leaving, it's a crowd of cars, and accidentally, this gentleman, Mr. Dugar, actually cuts another guy off. And in a fit of road rage, he starts to chase Mr. Dugar down. Mr. Dugar's in his open top Jeep with his wife. So his Jeep is wide open. They're going down the freeway to get to the park. Then all of a sudden, the guy's boys pull up on the side, too, and they're really trying to weaving all around the road and acting crazy, and they're upset, and they're yelling at him, and he can hear him yelling. The Jeep top is open, and he's getting kind of worried. And again, we're taking this from Mr. Dugar's side of the story because, it's his defense that he's saying. Mm-hmm. And so in this situation, he ends up hitting a red Ford Taurus that was one of the friends of the other guy who had the road rage, and that car spins out of control and hits head-on with a green Ford Explorer. Everybody turns around. Mr. Dugar goes back around and is like, hey, I didn't do that. That was him. They try to work it out. But, of course, tempers are flaring. Everybody's inflamed. It's a tense situation. And what happens then is Mr. Dugar sees that there's some weapons. People have weapons out. And so what he does is he goes and grabs his pistol out of his car and puts it in his pants. Some guy sees him grab his pistol and he says, oh, you got guns? We got guns too. Okay, and so this situation just starts popping off, and they start really, you can see tensions rise and throughout the entire course of this event. And you can see that these people didn't make the smartest decisions, and he could have probably downplayed it way before it got to this point, but he doesn't. And eventually, they start to argue. He's like, well, I'm leaving. So he goes and jumps in his car and he starts to leave. All of a sudden, this crowd of people that has congregated around their arguments starts chasing after his Jeep. Okay, and so he thinks, I can get away, but they're trying to get closer to me so that they can have shorten the distance to shoot at me, because I already thought they had weapons. Uh-huh. So he pulls his gun, wham, 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 and he just blasts off into this crowd, right? Well, he ends up killing one of the artists that was there to perform at the brother-in-law's deal that wasn't in the crowd. And so this person was now there was some debate about whether this person was part of the crowd, whether he was involved, but there really wasn't any strong evidence, so the court assumed, okay, that he was an innocent bystander. Okay, but the trial court below, I should have said this first, the trial court below denied him a self-defense instruction, okay, because they said, you were reckless. But they don't really talk about it being reckless. They don't talk about the recklessness. The state argues what the rest of those cases were saying, which is why I was saying it was so confusing. They said he was an innocent party. He was an innocent party. This man doesn't get to use the justification. And the trial court went with the state.
So the story means nothing other than the one aspect that the person wasn't associated with the party and they consider it reckless. As compared to looking at all the facts, and the guy's in fear for his life, he pulls out the gun because guys are pointing guns at him and he's trying to defend him and his wife or woman and property, and they go that route?
This is exactly what the Court of Appeals said. So it goes to the Houston Court of Appeals and they said exactly what you just said. They said, no, this was not the best situation, and we're not saying that this guy's not guilty. We very well could see the jury finding him guilty, but there was evidence that he was in fear of his life and that they were coming after him, and that even if this person was not even if this person was not part of the crowd, just shooting at a ferocious crowd that's chasing you down, right, is not reckless when it was justified. And so now we are stuck, and we don't really know if the facts are limited to this case or if they're if there are other times when we can shoot at somebody when somebody else is behind them. Do you see this? Do you see my point here? This is because it was a crowd of people. He just shot into a crowd of people. Wham, wham, wham.
I always bring it down to its simplest form. You don't know what's going to happen even when you think you're right and you study the law. You can study the law and think you know it all, but then, like you're saying all the time about how the court make their own rules, you got the opinions of the jury who you've never met. They're going to analyze your nanosecond decision over 3 to 6 months. Your attorney fees are going to rack up. Was it worth it in the first place? There's this long, skinny pedal on the right-hand side. He should have pushed his foot on it a little bit harder.
I think that there were other cars in front of him, and so he couldn't get out of there as fast. We've talked about, too, there was a gentleman that called last week and talked to Rick. Rick did I thought he answered those questions soundly and the smartest way possible, but we've talked about the situations where, and remember, Rick's going to be coming after you if you make the wrong choice in these situations. He is the civil guy on negligence, but where you come home and there's some robber bursting out of your house with your wife's pearls in her hands, it's $10,000 that she got at the super lawyers convention with Rick last week, okay? And so the guy's running out. It's a defense of property. If, okay, you would be justified in protecting that property, it's yours, and yes, you would if there was no other way to get the property back. You don't even know him, you've never seen him before. If you do have to go get him, right, is it going to cause a substantial likelihood of serious bodily injury or death to you or put others in danger? Probably so. This guy broke down a house, so he's either got a crowbar or he's extremely fit and you're, you know, in your 40s and you've had a long day at work, you're no longer in shape, you're probably going to get hurt. So maybe or maybe not you can in that situation. I don't advise you to do it because there are some works that we don't know yet, and I was telling you you may have to retreat in the situation that doesn't make sense, but let's assume that you can fire in the situation and the guy's at the street. If he's at the street, if you want to fire and it's an open field, and assuming you can, and again, I'm not telling you to, I don't think you should, but let's assume you could, that situation may not be reckless. But then we talked about, what if it's the neighbor's house across the street? Well, deadly conduct is firing over a road. Criminal offense. Deadly conduct is firing at a... What if there's kids over there?
Let me give you a couple examples. I'm hunting, and there's a deer in the field, and it's running, and I'm, like, just getting a bead on it, and all of a sudden, there's the house in the background as it's the deer is running across. And so I got an open shot, and as I'm going, all of a sudden, I see house. I got to let it go. I'm not going to take... That's a risk for me to pull this trigger. I cannot take the risk. Now, here's another example. I'm in the classroom when I'm teaching my students, and I'm saying, okay, here's a bad guy, and behind him is, let's just say there's people around him, and I take a shot. I feel it necessary for me to take a shot at the bad guy. It's a clean shot. It goes right where I want it to go, but you never know what a bullet's going to do. It goes in, hits a bone, bounces out, comes out of his shoulder,
exactly,
and goes in to the person's right cheek, okay? Then he's... I'll get back to that one in a second. There's 10 people around him. There's the bad guy in the middle of him. You're freaking out, and you shoot 10 rounds. 10 people fall down, but the bad guy's still standing. Okay? The first one, in my opinion, and I've talked to others who kind of agree with me, is that it was a clean shot. It was not reckless, but I am still liable for that bullet. It would be civil liability.
Oh, yeah. So, again, just
the other one,
yes,
was reckless. Okay.
Just because you may be justified, and Rick would be the great one to talk to about these these issues, right? But just because you're justified under the penal code, right, does not remove your civil liability. Now, there has been some articles written, and there has been some highfalutin civil law attorneys talk about how if you meet the penal code justifications, you're not going to be civilly liable. But the penal code is very clear that just because you're justified under the penal code does not mean you cannot be liable in a civil court. But I do want to say that I think the most significant thing about Dugard case, the one from Houston in 2015 we talked about, is that I think it's making the right decision. You see, we don't know an answer in some of these situations. What I'm telling you is, I think the court got it right when they said it's the jury's right to determine whether it was reckless or not. And so, in the situation with the child, I don't know. They may go a different way. I think that should be the way that is how to have followed and be applied. But so just know that if you don't meet one of those common sense scenarios, right, and it's a there's commotion going on and there's other individuals that being situated. Mm-hmm. That's important to the and the risk around. It's like when you get into a fight. I've had cases where somebody gets into a fight, okay, and it's mutual combat. I've had cases of mutual combat. Two dudes want to square off, you know, like Mike Tyson and Holyfield, and it's their deal. They've been wanting to do this since they were 5 years old. Okay, and they're going wham wham, you know, and then somebody just doesn't like it and wants to jump in and break it up, and they end up getting elbowed in the mouth and their jaw breaks.
I know, whatever happened to just skin on skin, you know, fight, no knives, no guns. You just like you don't like the guy, you gotta go to the back of the building and just start
right
duking it out, man.
And so that's what I'm saying. That can be reckless injury, and not being situationally aware, you can have the same problem come up right when you're talking about using weapons. And so just keep that in mind.
Hey, you covered a lot of stuff. I got questions here. I'm not even going to ask them, but there was one here maybe we didn't touch on. Reckless injury is reckless injury. There is no way out of it. If you do reckless injury, what would be examples of restitution towards the person who had reckless injury done to them?
So Trish Vargas is the victim's coordinator, crimes coordinator at the DA's office here in Milam County in Cameron. You can talk to her if you want to talk more about the specifics, but I can tell you that even, let's say it's for sure compensation for injuries and things of that nature, and a lot of people think, well, it only covers copay and the out-of-pocket. Well, the legislature has made some third parties eligible, and I don't know every single one of those, but I know that it includes insurance companies and even the crime victims office that pays these victims. Oftentimes, it can include rent, housing, and things of that nature. I mean, it could cover a whole broad range of stuff, even funeral expenses if you kill the person. Okay, and so that's criminal restitution. We're not even talking about the civil case now. And
that's after the fact, once the decision's made that you're guilty.
Yes.
Then add on to it. Now, you attorneys get paid by the hour. Okay, most of you, I guess. And then
not the court appointed.
But then you got court fees. What is it about the defense of trying to get yourself out of trouble that costs so much? Is it the court fees, or is it just the culmination of all the attorney hours doing it, doing the defense work for you? Or is it an equal share?
And yeah, and so the discovery rules right now, you guys may have heard of Michael Morton. He was a guy that was falsely accused of murder because the DA withheld evidence that showed that he didn't do it. Okay, and so we have these laws now that require the DA to put over evidence, but they do not allow the defendant, they make it very hard for defendants to acquire the evidence. And so now people almost have to hire attorneys to go get this stuff and to go through everything and to make all of these determinations based on the evidence, when you could be able to look at it yourself and maybe make some upfront decisions about what you wanted to do and who you wanted to hire. But our system just doesn't work like that, because they're trying to protect victims.
Can you give a lowball idea of a 3-month court case, reckless injury, of what it might cost somebody for just court fees and attorneys? Just the simplest form. Give me a bracket if you could.
Like to start with a minimum $1,500. Okay. And so, unless it's like a marijuana case. And so,
no, I'm talking reckless injury with a weapon.
Yeah, reckless injury with a weapon, you know, we're talking, you're going to be at probably minimum $5,000.
Minimum starting. That's a lot of money. I'm not as blessed as others to have lots of money. I like the money I earn. I want to keep it, and I don't want to shell it out. I'm sure you do too. So remember, if you're going to do something, I don't care what you do. If you feel there's no other option for you, just make sure you know what the options are, so that you can say, that one's not going to work for me, I'm going to have to do this. If your head's going under the bow of the boat, like I always say, or the red line's been crossed, or the line in the sand's been crossed, and you feel there's no other option, you're going to have to make the decision as to what you're going to do in that second. And the jury will take their sweet little time for 3 to 6 months to figure out if you were right. So just make sure you got it straight, mentally prepare. And the other thing, too, we're going to talk about sometime in the future. I want to talk about nonviolent dispute resolutions, because you were talking about those guys getting all fired up, guns are coming out, keeps escalating. You know, we talk about the parent, child, adult ego states and how you can recognize this and all that. This is a great conversation here. So what we're going to do, Ross, tell everybody, this is a fantastic conversation, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, and so you can help them out.
105 East Main Street in Cameron. My number is 254-455-0569. That's 254-455-0569. You can reach me at Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N, at Watson.legal. So it's just my name, Benton at Watson.legal. I'm here in Cameron. I'd love to hear from you.
And the other thing, too, everybody, we've got all these interviews up on my YouTube page, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. And you can check out all these videos of it and go over it and listen to it and take your notes from that as well. I've also got the podcast on iTunes and Podbean. And you can go to my aaronsgunshop.com website and go to the radio page. The recording of this episode, probably at around 2 o'clock this afternoon, it should be loaded up. And you can listen to it again. Give us a call here, 254-697-6633. If you got some comments, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And check out the website, like us on Facebook, and we'll talk. We're going to take a long break. Ross, it's always a pleasure. I get excited when you come in here because we have a great conversation. So we're going to take a break, and we'll see you on the other side. We'll take a long one there.
Connecting the dots one by one. KMIL is 105.1 The Ranch.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. DABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifle guns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or found on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is April 15th, 2017. We're here live. Actually, we're a little ahead of schedule, and instead of having the voice of law enforcement sit around here, we're going to have him come on now instead of the 11 o'clock hour, and hoping we don't miss people listening to you if we do that, but we're going to have to do that anyway. So let me now introduce to you the walking encyclopedia, the plethora of information, the carrier of common sense, the voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon. Randy, how's it going?
Oh, it's a wonderful day. Good Easter weekend, beautiful skies outside, nice cool breeze blowing. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Plus, you know, I'm going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to shake things up just a little bit today instead of talking about something that's going to be directly associated with safety. I think it's, especially with it being Easter weekend, I'm going to do something about people and about how people react to things and talk about how we as people and as a society sometimes need to really take a deep, hard look at the way we view things. This week, like I said, what I do is I want to do something a little bit different. You know, in the last few broadcasts, I've always talked about something that has been as real as far as your own home, your protection, what you need to do, etc. But I want you to look deep inside your soul today and think about exactly what and how you feel about certain things. It seems over the past few months, we as a society have been told and talked. I have people call me and ask me. As far as a lot of good people here in the Milo County area who are getting more and more stressed out with life or have gotten in the point where they no longer can deal with their neighbors. We all have been through that. As a former chief here, I rarely got calls informing me that my police officers were doing a good job, but usually pointing out that the officers in their minds should have done something different. You know, I think we all have done that with people before. You know, I've heard so many times, we pay your salary. Yes, each of you that pay taxes here in this area do contribute to the salary of officers and the operations of a law enforcement agency. You're right. But that same person also pays for the fire department, the water department, the street department, and the health department, the education system, and every other entity that receives tax-supported funds. In my mind, I often wonder to myself, does that same person who's told me that you pay my salary try to tell the water department that you pay their salary or the health department that you pay their salary? I often wonder to myself, folks, does that same person who tried to tell me how to do my job and my officer's job I had at the time do the same thing to those and the staff of these other places? Now, mind you, I'm not complaining at all. When I was chief, I had an open-door policy and always, anytime, invited people to come in and to give constructive and decent feedback, air their problems, talk about their problems. And I think that's what any law enforcement chief or director or head should do. But what I want to do is look at what we can do as a person and what a society can do when life gets rough and sometimes violent. You know, we have hostilities, and even suicide seems to be the only way to handle things. Some, you know, that's a never-ending story when we do that. We've all gone through hard times. Every one of us have gone through hard times. And we all get through them, somehow coming out better on the end. However, some of them are better than others. So what's their secret? Most of it has to do with attitude. Think about that, attitude. Here are some very important points I want you to remember when life gets rough. You know, there's a famous religious leader that has made the statement that has been inscribed on writings all around the world. It is one that is, it's one's resistance to what is that causes one's suffering. Think about that for a minute. It means that our suffering only occurs when we resist how things are. If you can change something, then take action. Change it. But if you can't change it, then you have two choices to make. You can either accept it and let go of that negativity that is eating at you inside, gnawing away at your psychic and even at your innermost soul. Or you can make yourself miserable by obsessing over it. It's only a problem if you think it's a problem, folks. Many times we are our own worst enemy. Happiness is really dependent on perspective. If you think something is a problem, then your thoughts and emotions will be negative. But if you think it's something you can learn from, then suddenly it's not a problem anymore. If you want things to change, you need to start with changing yourselves or ourselves. Your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. That's pretty deep. I realize that even for me. Do you know people whose lives are chaotic and stressful? And isn't that largely because they feel chaotic inside? I think so. We like to think that changing our circumstances will change us, but we have it backwards, folks. We need to change ourselves first before our circumstances will change. I truly believe there is no such thing as failure, only learning opportunities, and I've really, really had to learn that the last 2 months. One should ask, and be honest with you, folks, one should just wipe the word failure right out of your vocabulary. That should not even come up in your mind. All great people who have ever achieved anything have failed over and over. In fact, it was Thomas Edison who said, "I did not fail at inventing the light bulb. I just found 99 ways that it didn't work for me the first time." Think about that. Take our so-called failures and learn something from them. Learn how to do better the next time. If you don't get something you want, it just means something better is coming. And that's hard to believe sometimes, folks. It really is. But it's true. Usually when you look back at your life, you'll be able to see why it was actually a good thing that something didn't work out for you. Maybe the job you didn't get would have made you spend more time away from your family, but the job you did get was more flexible. Just have faith that everything happens exactly the way it's supposed to. I've really had to reach deep inside myself to appreciate this the last few months here, especially with the actions that I've gone through the last couple of months and the existence. This moment will never come again, and you got to believe that. There's always something precious about every moment, so don't let it pass you by. Soon it will just be a memory. Even moments that you don't seem happy can be looked upon as something that you might miss someday. As a country song by Trace Atkins says, "You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone so by so fast. You may not know this now, but you're going to think and miss this in the end." As I get into the autumn of my life, folks, I personally have realized that I worried too much about money, about security, and about things that took me away from my family and kids. I worked and have worked all my life, two or three jobs, to make ends meet. These make ends meet, though, took me away from little league ball games, high school sports, church, and other important parts of my children's life when they were young. I truly see now, as I am growing older, how much I missed out and how much their growing up meant. I take every chance I can right now to encourage young police officers, my own children, my kids, to never neglect their own family, because one day they're going to miss that. Have you ever heard someone refer to our current generation as the me society? I know I hear it all the time. It is about instant happiness, instant success, instant gratification. We need to let go of our desires, folks. Most people live with an attached mind. What this simply means is that they attach themselves in a desire, and when they don't get it, their emotions plummet into negativity. Instead, try to practice a detached mind. That means that when you want something, you will still be happy whether you get it or not. Your emotions remain happy or are actual and neutral many times. We should understand and be grateful for our fears. Fear can be a great teacher. Overcoming fears can also make you feel victorious. For example, when I was in college many years ago, I feared public speaking, one of the top three fears of all humans. So I find it humorous now that not only do I speak in front of people and microphones, but that I give every chance I get, I take every chance I get to be able to talk to people and be able to do lectures to people. Believe it or not, I know way too many people who don't allow themselves to have fun. You know how I know this? Because for a very long time, I would not allow myself to have fun, folks. It was all about work, 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 work. I loved my job as a police chief here, and I loved every job I've ever had. And I loved serving the people of this Cameron, Milam County area. But I had to learn, if I don't find an outlet that is safe, fun, and interesting with all the issues facing policing, I would be burned out and crazy one day, which I like to think I'm neither. What is sad is many individuals don't even know how to be happy. Some people are actually addicted to their problems and the chaos in them so much that they wouldn't even know who they are without them. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Try to allow yourself to be happy, even if it's just for a small moment, especially here at the Easter season. Think about what all took place. Think about the life that was given for us, and think about how it's changed the world over and over again. One way we can be happy is to not compare ourselves to other people. But if you do compare yourself with someone who has it worse than you are. If you're unemployed, be grateful that you live in a country that gives you unemployment compensation, because most people in the world live on less than $750 a year. No, you don't look like, say you don't look want to look like Angelina Jolie. Well, unfortunately, very few people do look like Angelina Jolie. And you're probably better looking than most people. Anyway, focus on that. I encourage people every day to not be a victim. You need to get out of your own way and do your own thing. You're only a victim of your own thoughts, words, and actions. No one does something to you. You're the creator of your own experiences and mind. Take personal responsibility and realize that you can get out of your hard times. You can work past that. You just need to start with changing your thoughts and actions. Abandon your victim mentality and become victorious from victim to victor. I have really tried to teach myself that things can, will, and do change in our lives. I've experienced all of those emotions in the last 2 months and plus. We need to think we are stuck in a bad situation. We need to see a way out of that. And when we do figure out there is ways out of it, get that way. Nothing is permanent except death. So get out of the habit of thinking that things will always be this way. They won't. But you do need to take some sort of action for things to change. It won't magically happen, folks. It's not going to happen. It's just not poof. There's no magical way that it's going to happen. I have tried to teach my family that anything is possible. Miracles happen every day. Really, they do. Sometimes it takes hard prayer for those miracles to take place. You know, I know that many times we're not supposed to talk about about our faith and about the things that get us through. But as the old saying goes, there's no atheist in a foxhole. So sometimes praying to the Almighty, that helps us get through some of the times we've had and some of the times we're going to have in the future. I wish I had enough time to talk about all the miraculous things that have happened to people. I know from my sister being healed from cancer to a person having their soulmate appear out of nowhere after years and years, that's miracles that take place. Trust me, it's happening all the time around us. You just need to believe it's there. Once you do, you've won the battle. It's time we take control of our lives and not blame the government, other people, our family, our situation, or our troubles in life. Everything can be fixed. Everything can be fixed. It just takes determination, love, and hope. If everyone would practice this on a daily basis, who knows, in the next decade, we might be crime-free, hate-free, and prejudice-free. Now, I've rambled a lot here, folks, and talked about a lot of things about, you know, inner thoughts, inner feelings. But one of the things that I really think that we need to look at is in our society is how good we do have it. We have a wonderful society. I've had the opportunity over the last number of years to be able to follow and to follow up with things that have happened in some of our countries that we're at war with. In Syria, if you look at some of the inner things in Syria, some of the things that we don't want to hear about, the atrocities, the pains, the problems, we're so lucky in this country. We have the ability to be able to be free. We can keep a gun in our home if we want. We can take a class and we can put that gun on our hip and walk around and be happy to be able to express our own beliefs and our own thoughts. So, folks, as we go into this Easter season and we look at what Easter is, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do, and y'all will have to excuse me if I offend some people, I'm sorry, but pray. Pray that your family has the best of everything. Pray that you have the best of everything. But more especially, pray for those that have nothing, because that's the people that understand what it truly means to be appreciative for any little thing that ever happens to you. So until next Saturday, I wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Easter. Have a great time with your family. Enjoy your family. And remember, He is risen.
We play it loud and proud on the radio. This is KMIL 1051, The Ranch.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps bartending service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Everybody, I'm back here. It's April 15, 2017, day right before Easter, and Officer Randy Dixon did a fantastic job. It's always a pleasure to listen to him. He's still in studio. If anybody has any questions or comments, positive feedback, feel free to call us at 254-697-6633. Still got a lot of left in this program. I'm going to give you yesterday. Was Aaron's latest round robin competition. Ladies and gentlemen, this competition is producing some comes to my shop and starts to compete if they've never done it before. If they see that put on them, how they can start spitting up on them. After they do it a few times and they learn, hey, you know, just calm down, keep it smooth, keep it easy, slow is easy, or you know, you keep it slow, because when you go slow, you end up really going fast, because things are smooth when you're taking it slow. And people are becoming really good shots. Last night we had, the prize was the 982 Hawk 12-gauge pump shotgun. Pretty nice. You can see it on my Facebook page at aaronsgunshop.com. Check it out. So that was pretty awesome. Now, on April 22nd and 23rd, that's next weekend, I'll be at the Real Gun Show at the Expo Center in Belton, and I'll be doing this show live there on the 22nd. That'll be Saturday from 10 to noon. And it's going to be a great show, like they all are, but I'm going to have special guest C.J. Grisham with me and attorney Benton Ross Watson. You heard him earlier here today, and we're getting into it. We're having a good time. And they're going to be talking about the case concerning CJ's court case and all the ins and outs and the ups and downs and the commentary and all that. So those two having a conversation with each other is going to be for great dialogue. So if you come on out to the Real Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center on Saturday, you can be part of the program and watch it happening there live, okay? Now, on April 29th, will be Aaron's semi-auto rifle seminar with lead instructor Zoltan Varga. Zoli's getting a great reputation as an excellent firearms instructor, so sign up now at aaronsgunshop.com's High Cap Adventure page and secure your spot in this upcoming class. Now, I want to give you some details about it, but first, I read this last week. I want to read it again, and you've heard that story about the guy who defended his home with his AR. I saw this news clip. It was no charges against Oklahoma man who killed three intruders. Oklahoma City. An Oklahoma prosecutor said that money, no charges will be filed against a 23-year-old man who fatally shot three teenage intruders in his home, but that the woman who drove them there would be charged with first-degree murder. Authorities said that Zachary Peters was home alone when he shot Maxwell Cook, Jacob Redfern, and Jacob Woodruff with an AR-15 rifle on March 17th at his home just outside Tulsa of Broken Arrow. It is the opinion of this office that Zachary Peters acted justifiably when he used deadly force to defend his home, said the assistant district attorney. It was clear he operated completely within the law when he used deadly force. Now, the reason I read that is because the course that we're doing is for semi-auto rifles. I've got an M4 class specifically designed for M4s, but not everybody has an M4 rifle. So this class is for semi-automatic rifles like AKs, ARs, Mini-14s, M1 Garands, M1 Carbines, M1As, anything. If it's semi-auto with a magazine fed, you can use it in this course. You're going to shoot, move, cover, do reloads, transition from your pistol to your rifle and your rifle to your pistol. You'll do some room clearing, gun safety and handling, point shooting. It's going to be a great class, and it's a reduced price right now. It's normally $275. It's $200 for the course. It's an all-day long course. Starts at 8 in the morning, gets over at 6, includes a barbecue lunch. And Zoltan Varga is my lead instructor. He knows what he's doing. He's been around the block 100 times, and he gives great tips, angles, corrections, whatever you want to call it, on how to use your rifle and your pistol. So you may want to make sure you check that out. Now, on May 5th will be my next license to carry class. If you're wanting to get your license paperwork started, this is the class to be at. It's $60 for newbies and $40 for people who just want to refresh the course, which I highly recommend. Now, you can take a class that costs more and puts you to sleep, or you can take it from me and actually remember most of it. So it's your call. Smart Money says call me. 254-697-6633. Send me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. May 12th will be the next round robin competition. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, the homepage, and at the top there you'll see the link on how it's done and all the rules for the competition. I'm not sure yet what the prize is going to be, but I'm sure it's going to be a good one as well. It's only $20 to enter. Now think about it, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of places charge you for hourly rental fees of the range to shoot. You come to my shop, it's $10 for the night. So if you're going to pay me $10 for the night anyway, it only costs on the second Friday $20 to enter the competition. And you get to shoot for free all night. You get to enter the competition. You get some seriously good training. And if you're having a good day and a really good person's having a bad day, you might actually win something. So it's a win-win-win for everybody. You need to check it out. After that, on May 20th, will be a ladies-only advanced seminar. My bad. Going back, I got out of sequence there. The next schedule is May 13th. It will be a ladies-only gun familiarization class. May 13th, ladies-only gun familiarization class. This class is only $25 for 3 hours, and we'll go over the many different types of handguns, how they work and feel, and which one might be best for you. And after all that great knowledge, on the 20th, of May will be a ladies-only advanced seminar. It's called Ladies-Only Self-Defense with a Handgun and Home Invasion Seminar, and this is an all-day class as well. It's $165, which includes a barbecue lunch, and teaches the following. It goes over a lot of things. And you've got mindset and philosophy, gun safety and handling, reloads, point shooting, handgun round robins, room clearing, student scenarios, live fire shooting drills, and a whole bunch more. So you want to make sure you sign up on there. Go to the aaronsgunshop.com High Cap Adventure page. You'll see all the different flyers there, and you click on the one that says ladies only, and we'll get you going. If the date's not there yet, it'll be up soon. and or just give me a call or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. One way or another, we'll get you hooked up. But go check out aaronsgunshop.com. Check out all the pages. Check out the testimonial page for a lot of women who've taken the courses before. And they can give you an idea of what it's all about. Okay, as time's ticking on here, I want to go to my product spotlight. I want to make sure I got plenty of time for our special guest. And that's going to be Stephanie Varga. And hopefully we can get her on right about 11:30. So let me do the product spotlight here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the product spotlight of this program is sponsored by ANC Firearms. Arch Kuntz is an awesome individual. Good friend, longtime friend. He's got his gun shop out there in Heidenhammer, in the old bank in Heidenhammer. And he's got the wooden floors, the creaky wooden floors, the brick walls with half of the plaster down and give that good, cool effect. You know, it's purposely that way. It's not like it's crumbling. I better clarify that. You got the tin-plated ceiling, the squares, the I forget what you call it, but it's just an awesome place. And he's got the old vault safe in the wall. And the crew there, you got Dennis and Mike and Clint and Arch. They're all there. They got guns, ammo, accessories, the whole works. You need to give them a call at 254-983-4417. And today's product spotlight is going to be the Kel-Tec PLR-22. It's a pretty neat looking gun. And once again, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of me holding it there, give an idea what it looks like. But I got an article here, and it's not really an article. It's a basic description of the gun. And I'm going to read it to you now so you have an idea of what it's all about. This is the Kel-Tec PLR-22. The PLR-22 pistol is chambered for the popular and economical 22 long rifle cartridge, the 22LR. It is based on the 5.56mm NATO-chambered PLR-16 pistol and shares many parts including the grip and the front and rear sights. The PLR-22 is not a simple conversion kit. It's a standalone firearm chambered for the 22 long rifle and is designed for target shooting, plinking, and small game hunting. The PLR-22 operates by blowback action and has a 4140 steel bolt that rides on steel rails, guide rails, inside the polymer receiver. The ejector is attached to one of the guide rails and the recoil spring is located above the barrel. The crossbolt safety and magazine release operate identically to the PLR-16. The PLR-22 will accept many of the same accessories as the PLR-16 and SU-16, including the sling, stock, and compact fore-end. The rear sight is adjustable for windage, and the front sight is adjustable for elevation. An integrated Picatinny rail on top will accept a multitude of sighting options. A semi-transparent magazine is included, and it will accept magazines designed for the Acheson M16 conversion. Specifications of the caliber: it's a 22, capacity 10 rounds. It's a semi-automatic blowback operating system, adjustable front and rear sights. It's got a top rail too, so you can put optics on it. Barrel length is 10.1 inches. Twist is 1/16, and the overall length is 18.5 inches. It's a neat little gun. If you go to my Facebook page, aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of it there. I believe it's like $300-something, low 300s, 310, 320, something like that. It's neat. They're hard to find. It's brand new with the box. Looks great. Give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. It's 254-983-4417. And tell them at 12:01 when the show is over, you're going to be racing right out there. If you can't wait, turn on this, your radio to 105.1 FM The Ranch, and you can continue to listen to me. No excuses not to listen to me. Okay. All right, that's the product spotlight. Now, I've got a few minutes, and our special guest is in studio now, and I'm excited that she's here. She's got all sorts of little things that we're going to be talking about, and I can't wait. But we're going to do one more segment, and I'm going to get to the gun training demo. And this one here is talking about technical versus tactical mag changes. When you're showing a mag change, you show it technically. When you're doing a mag change for real, you do it tactically. When doing a technical mag change, you need to know how it's done. When doing a tactical mag change, you must know how to do it. There are no shortcuts on this one. The technical mag change can be placed in two categories. One is training, showing you how. And then two, when gun completely runs out of ammo and the slide locks to the rear. Let's say you're at the range shooting and run out of ammo. The slide locks to the rear. That's a technical mag change you're going to do. Or if you're not paying attention in a tactical scenario and it locks to the rear, it's going to be a technical mag change. The tactical mag change is one category, and that is topping off the gun. The gun is not empty, but you fired rounds and lost count. When the opportunity presents itself, you take out the half-used mag and replace it with a full one, all the while the gun has a round in the chamber. So let me explain this. I brought my faithful little 1911 here, and everybody I want to hear, everybody at one time, tell me, what do I do when I get a firearm? What's the first thing I do? That's right. I just heard you. Check to make sure it's not loaded. So we're going to take the magazine out, and you'll be seeing this on video later. I'm taking the magazine out. The magazine is empty. I'm pulling the slide to the rear. Chamber's checked. Chamber's clear. Magazine well, and the magazine's clear. Hammer's down. Now, when I'm shooting at a piece of paper, we'll say, and let's just say for simplicity, this gun's got 7 rounds in it, okay? And I shoot all 7 rounds, what's going to happen is the slide is going to lock to the rear. It's going to lock to the rear. That tells me, oops, I'm out of ammo. So what I do is I push my magazine release. Magazine comes out. I go to load the mag, and the slide is locked to the rear. Simple. I get another mag, or once this is loaded, I insert it back into the weapon, and I reload it. The slide's forward, one round in the chamber. Now, let's talk about the difference when it comes to the tactical mag change. This is very important now. Very important. You listening? Here we go. I'm in a situation, and it was necessary for me to pull my weapon. And in the course of it, there was gunfire. And in the course of that gunfire, my adrenaline's rushing. I'm pumped. I'm like, okay, I got 7 rounds in my firearm. I just shot. It was necessary to shoot more than one round. And, you know, through all the chaos, I lost count. But the chaos is not over yet. But there is a lull in the fighting. I have the opportunity to either take cover. I can't run away, but I got the opportunity to take cover or something. So let's think about this now. Get your semi-automatic handgun in your mind. There's one in the chamber. The slide is forward. The magazine is not completely full. At this point in time, I'm going to take advantage of the lull. Now, gun, you've got an extra mag, right? If you go to my YouTube channel, you'll see what happens. You'll see what happens if you've got a gun and you don't have extra magazines, what you're going to have to do. So go check that out. But anyway, the lull in the fighting, you take cover, you drop the magazine. Hold on to it. Don't drop it. Just drop it out of the magazine well. You're going to hold on to it. Now, remember, there's still one in the chamber. And the reason we do that is, God forbid something happens, I still can take one last shot because there's one in the chamber. But the whole purpose of this tactical mag change is to go reach in your belt, pick out your fresh magazine that's got a full capacity in it, insert it into the mag well, and now I've got 7 plus one in the chamber. But I never took the one out of the chamber. It was ready to go. It was hot just in case the threat came in my view. I had one shot, one chance to take it. And the other thing, too, is you always want to keep the weapon between you and the threat. You don't want it pointing over here. You want it, like, if you're reloading, here I am in the video. Here's the weapon, and there's the threat. It's in front of me. So that one round, it's in the chamber. If I've got to take the shot, it just comes right into view, and there it is. Okay? Technical versus tactical mag changes. We teach that in our classes. We've got a class coming up, the rifle seminar on the 29th. We've got a ladies only coming up as well, and it teaches those aspects of technical and tactical mag changes. It's extremely important to know. It's a total equation. You can't come to a solution in the equation if you don't have all the elements, and the elements are knowing how to do technical and tactical mag changes. So what we're going to do now, we are right on schedule. We're going to take another long break. And when we come back from this break, we're going to have our special guest on here, Stephanie Varga. And she's got all sorts of things on the counter here that we're going to talk about, cigars mainly. So we'll see you on the other side, and we'll have our special guest at that time.
Connecting the dots one by one. KMIL is 105.1 The Ranch.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's April 15, 2017, day before Easter, so happy Easter. And also, in case you didn't know, tax day is delayed to the 18th. Woohoo! Okay, now, look, we've been having a great show, and the cake is beautiful. It hasn't fallen. It came out of the oven. It hasn't fallen. We're about to put icing on the cake here. I have sitting next to me Stephanie Varga. This woman's got it going, okay? Now, let me tell you something. Y'all know me and what I do. You know my instructor, Zoltan Varga. This is his wife, so don't mess with her. Zoli's a good shot, just saying, all right? You can check out Stephanie here if you go to my Facebook page, aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page. You'll see a picture of her there, and she was with Black Label Trading Company, and we're going to be talking about a lot of good stuff. So right off the bat, here, let me make sure I'm not missing my notes here. She is a wife, a mother, an airline pilot, and the owner of a cigar business down in Nicaragua. Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
It's no problem. You call me here, and that's fine.
That's a good start.
How's she doing volume? Get a little closer to the mic there. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Stephanie, what I want you to do, I could be here all day giving you a bio, but you know yourself best. Why don't you give us a little rounded version of your biography and who you are, what you've done, and how you got to this point doing cigars?
Sure, absolutely. I've been a pilot for 20 years. Right now, I fly medevac. I've flown corporate jets all over the world. When I moved from the Virgin Islands back to Cameron and decided to take a break from flying and being gone from my daughter, I didn't really have anything in mind. Well, my best friend from college, we went to A&M together, she and her husband were starting this cigar business and decided they needed someone in the States to run the importing and the all the paperwork and that horrible stuff that no one wants to do. And I signed up for that.
Why would you do the terrible part?
You know, it was something I could do from home. I really can relate to the mothers out there that are raising kids and want to be there with their kids, but also need some income and want to do something else with their lives. And, you know, flying just wasn't allowing me to do that,
you know,
to be
at
home.
I was thinking to myself, I'm saying here in the States, why would one want to start a cigar company? What would make you even think that? But it was started down there, and I guess the main product, you know, going to do something.
They had an overland expedition company. They took Land Rovers through the jungles of Central America, if you can imagine. And they, believe it or not, kind of had the same problem. Their son, Parker, had turned 4 years old, and they said, we're ready to be home more now. And James, one of Angela's husband, is a sommelier, a chef, an artist. He's the palate of our company. And he started rolling cigars just for himself, for the fun of it. Started meeting the farmers and the tobacco companies and connoisseurs down there and really got so interested. He decided he wanted to slow down with his overlanding business and become a cigar maker.
He was growing his own stuff. If you grow your own stuff around here, you get arrested.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I'm noticing here, James is the blender. What is
he
that?
He is. Mean? He's the guy that smokes 20 cigars a day.
Oh, my God.
He's tasty, yes. I couldn't do it, but he does it, and he loves it. He's the palate. I mean, he will taste from different regions and pair them together and pair them with food and drinks and he's just got this beautiful, beautiful interpretation of what a cigar can be.
He doesn't inhale, right?
No, we don't inhale. None of us inhale.
Because we get that from our leadership here in this country, which I wanted to ask you, too. Do you have any special orders from the Clintons or anything?
No, we're not that big. Yeah, we're not that big time. We paid sponsorships out there.
I think a lot of you know where I was going with that one, but I'll keep it clean. Okay. All right, continue on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so James, you know, makes these cigars and then makes this beautiful artwork for our branding and our marketing and
I'm going to show it in the video here.
Has really kind of brought it all together.
I think that is so cool. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to my Facebook page and check out the logo. And it's pretty awesome. You get that pirate effect on there, you know?
Exactly.
So check that
exactly.
out. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Angela and I, she runs the factory. They live in Esteli, Nicaragua. They live this, you know, 14 hours a day. I do the business work kind of in the States and manage the importing and the sales teams here with our Derek Matthews, our national sales manager. He's out of Temple. He actually worked part-time for Tobacco Junction in Temple, and that's where you guys can find our cigars in the area. Also, Cavalier Cigar Company on University in College Station. McGregor has an amazing cigar lounge. Leather chairs. It's one of the biggest lounges in all of Texas. And you can go in there and play dominoes. You know, they have a Texas Hold'em night. They have all these great... You can watch the game on 20 different big screens and sit in a leather chair and have a cigar and a drink and... It's just this little gym nobody knows about in McGregor, Texas.
Wow, now they do.
And yeah, and they have been one of our best shops from the very beginning because we kind of went to them and said, hey, we're your hometown cigar company. And they went, really? We had no idea you were here. So, yeah, Derek has been instrumental in kind of heading up our sales force all over the country And now we're in around 40 states. Our cigars are in shops in over 40 states.
That's fantastic.
Very proud of that.
You know, I like to pull things into the show here that have to do with what I do. And a lot of people out there are very familiar with ATFE. Alcohol, tobacco, mm-hmm. firearms, and explosives.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a bartender,
right.
So I've got the alcohol part of it. Tobacco, we've got our special guest now, Stephanie, here.
Right.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearms. I do firearms, and then the explosives. I'm looking for a fireworks company. If you're a fireworks company out there and you want to sponsor me, you need to do it, because then we'll have ATFE. Did I do that right? Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. How mall. It'd be a great show. It all loops together. Okay.
Maybe we could get Zoltan to start that company. I think he would love that.
Yeah, well, we got to be careful there. All right, now, I am ignorant when it comes to cigars. I've always looked at cigars, you know, as, wow, that's cool, just laid back, chilled out, the whole works. But I'm an idiot when it comes to, I'm an idiot to a lot of things, but when it comes to cigars, I'm really an idiot. And I'm seeing these all here. Let's go through this. We've got some time here.
Yeah.
Go through somebody, say things that a novice should know, say things that a person who's experienced smoking cigars might want to know. And ladies and gentlemen, the number here is 254-697-6633. I don't think you'd have any problem answering some questions, would you?
No, not at all.
You can ask Stephanie some questions when it concerns cigars, how to get them, flavors, types, so on and so forth. I'm going to learn a lot right now. So, Stephanie, teach me.
Okay, will do. So, you know, people have been enjoying smoking or pipes, tobacco, having a drink at the end of a long day for millennia. And we're just a part of that process. That's how we see ourselves as a luxury product. A fine cigar runs between $7 and $13 a stick. This is not something you're doing all day, every day. This is a really kind of a wind down, chill out, pamper yourself kind of event. A lot of people do smoke cigars on a regular basis. But like I said, you really don't inhale. You're not getting that much nicotine from a cigar. The smoke is in the air, but if you inhale and puff on a cigar, you're going to be sick in no time flat. I don't suggest it. All the connoisseurs, you puff, you get the flavor in your mouth. The cigar changes from the time you light it. You actually even pull air through a cigar before you even light it. After you cut it, you pull air through and you get that taste in your mouth and the flavor. And then you light it, and you get another taste. You know, after about the first third, the cigar morphs and changes from, you know, it can be anything from nutty to kind of a coffee taste or creamy, rich taste. There's so many different complexities. There's spice. There's different peppers.
Does James the blender, since he's done this and he smokes 20 a day, he might know certain leaves that combine together with other ones in the process of that smoke? It gets a desired effect?
Completely.
Wow.
Yeah, you can get a toasted, nutty flavor. And that's the beauty of it. You put the parts of a cigar are the binder, wrapper, and filler. The filler is we have long leaf. We have a craft product where everything is hand rolled. You can come to our factory in Nicaragua any day of the week and watch our rollers do this process from start to finish. It's a long leaf. It's bunched together, rolled and bound with usually a certain tobacco leaf. Most of ours are Honduran, Nicaraguan. And then our wrappers come from all over the world. We have a Pennsylvania wrapper, Ecuadorian wrapper, Mexican San Andreas.
Clarify with the wrappers?
The wrapper is just kind of a special leaf that gives it the pronounced flavor. The wrapper, you're getting a huge amount of, that's where you want to spend most of your money on a cigar.
Really?
When we make it, it's the beauty of the cigar. When you look at it, it's not too veiny. It's got a good color to it. And that's where you're getting your kind of complexity of flavor.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at a bunch of cigars here that she's brought in, and they're just, they're beautiful in themselves. They're pieces of art. The artwork that, I guess, James does?
Yes. All James.
The artwork that he does looks awesome. The packaging is great. The cigar itself looks good. She just whipped one out here.
Yeah, this is a Killer Bee.
Why don't you get it up in the camera so we can pass this?
Yeah, and you can see the craft that goes into this. Here on the head and the foot of the cigar is a candela. That's the kind of the green color is this candela, and it's mixed into
So in other words, you've got like multiple layers and you're causing a spiral effect on it. That's why I see the color.
This is really for show. You're going to clip off to about right there on the cigar.
I got questions about the clip off.
Yeah.
I'm looking in there.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at some of these smoke shops. I'm seeing all these different types of cutters. There's, you snip it off the top, you poke a hole in it,
punch,
you got multiple.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Guillotine, punch, there's a million.
I just like the guillotine thing because it's fun to play with.
I do too. Yeah. And we actually have our own, we have two different cutters that we sell on our website. Yeah.
I got to check that
both
out.
Both designed by James again.
Can you clip your nails with those?
Well, you could, but it could get bloody. Better be very precision in your clipping. So these cigars really represent... So the clipping you were talking about, there are a million YouTube videos out there on how to clip a cigar properly. And a lot of people go too far down and end up, taking a, half an inch off a cigar. You really want to be right up here on the shoulder where the curvature turns into the flat part.
All right, being a novice... I'm assuming, I've seen some cigars, like you said, they're cut off too far down. It makes it's almost the same diameter as a cigar. I'm assuming when you're taking a drag off that cigar, it would be harder to do that as compared to if it had a little smaller hole at the end. Is that, am I right or no?
I think you're almost getting too much air through there.
If
it's more cut off, you're getting way more air through. You really don't want that much.
Is it hard to take a draw off of a cigar?
No, not at all. I think it's super. The cigar wants to burn, and it wants to burn beautifully. I think when you cut it wrong, or light it the wrong way, you almost ruin your experience.
Oh my gosh, there's so much to it.
Light it the wrong way. You can kind of overburn it, and then you taste the char of the cigar, and you don't really want to taste the char. You want to taste as it burns down. So. Practice makes perfect.
Smoke a bunch of cigars. Yeah. Now, since we talked about it, tell everybody the different types of punches, cutters that there are, just so they can take their notes. Everybody's got their note paper out there and they're taking notes. So let's just knock that out real quick.
I mean, there's a what's called a V cut, which kind of cuts into the cigar very deeply, and there's the guillotine. There are even special scissors that you can buy to cut.
I read one time, or somebody told me when I was looking at those things, that the guillotine one might pinch and squeeze the end of it, whereas they've got one that's got like two half circles with the point, so it kind of cuts it evenly.
If you're getting that far into it, you're not enjoying the process. You're making it way too hard.
All right.
Yeah, so... The point of the cutter is to get to smoke the cigar.
All right, go on.
I think that stuff can be fun. I mean, we have cigar geeks just like you have gun geeks, and we can geek out on
gadget kind of guy
as much as possible. But yeah, the cigars really speak for themselves once you get into them, and certainly get a taste for the flavors that you like on your palate. I don't think there are any bad cigars. I think every cigar out there has someone that says, oh, that's my favorite. And it's because it's a taste thing completely. We are written up in magazines and we have ratings by some of the greatest.
Tell us the magazines.
So Cigars and Leisure magazine.
Can I show
you? Yeah, absolutely.
All right, if you look at the video, you'll see the magazine here. And what are they basically doing in there when they're doing
this? They're giving us reviews and ratings, and we've had amazing reviews since we started 3 years ago.
This one's
Tobacconist Magazine.
Got that one there if you look at the video. Very good.
And Cigar Press Magazine. And Cigar Press, we've been in the most. They have been amazing to us and great friends of ours, and they are actually one of the biggest supporters of Cigars for Warriors out there.
Oh, yeah, I saw about that.
So Cigars for Warriors we are huge contributors. We have been from the very beginning. We love this. And what they do is they ship boxes and boxes, thousands of cigars a month, over to the troops. It's actually, they say it's the number one requested product from the troops.
Wow.
Because they can't drink over there. So a cigar, that's the next best thing.
The next best thing, that's right.
And we are excited to be a part of that. The FDA recently has kind of cut down on the manufacturers like us donating cigars. But individuals, civilians out there, consumers can certainly you know, buy a cigar for themselves and buy one for the troops. And every high-end lounge out there, just about every lounge or cigar bar or cigar shop is going to have a donation receptacle where they take those cigars in and they get them to the right place in Florida where they get shipped out to the troops.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, really. We're very proud of our connection with those guys.
Now, I was looking at some of your paperwork here, and there's smoking, cigar smoking etiquette. That's kind of why I was going towards the methods of cutting it, you know?
Yeah,
so give me, the novice guy, and anybody else out there, some cigar smoking etiquette.
Okay, well, I think one of the biggest kind of errors I see is people that go into these lounges and don't buy a cigar from the shop. They start smoking their own, but then they use the lounge and the internet and the very big bad thing to do. When you go into these lounges, they're providing you this wonderful place to enjoy your cigar. You know, even if you don't smoke that cigar, go ahead and buy something out of their
something
humidor.
Else. That's right. They stay open because of business.
Exactly.
People coming in and doing business. It's, you know, it's just nice to do that.
Right. That's the brick and mortar support out there. And then also a big kind of thing I see is people will try to ash out a cigar like a cigarette, where they smash it out. That's actually, it puts off a bad smell because then you're getting that char kind of smell again when it goes out. You should just kind of set down a cigar and let it burn out. And it will, you know, within a few minutes, it'll
that
stop.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but it keeps that bad smell from being in the air. Another thing, I guess, is we don't have flavored cigars. That to us is kind of like the worst thing you can do to a cigar is put this cherry or
artificial flavor. Not to be mixed up with the fragrance of the natural cigar. You're saying adding flavors.
The additive. We have an organic product completely from start to finish. To put any sort of chemical or additive in,
nothing like burning a chemical into your system,
exactly.
Right? For flavor.
We are not proponents of that. Those cigars, I loosely call them cigars, are machine-made, chopped-up tobacco, kind of the leftovers, and then they throw this juice in there to this chemical. That can kill someone's experience that's having a good cigar. So in a lot of these cigar lounges, you never see anyone smoking a flavored cigar because everyone around them is having to take in that smell, and so, it kind of affects their experience.
So if we go to your cigars, and you made a comment about how you get, you know, different types of flavors through the leaves, and since you're so experienced in it, do you label that somehow as to what kind of flavors you'll get off of that naturally?
We do some descriptions in our press releases, but we really try not to. We know how we think they taste, but you may taste it differently.
Okay, so then
we really don't put it out there.
If you package these then in different shapes and sizes, and if you could, when you talk about each one, show it in the camera.
Sure.
Why do you do that if it's not a flavor distinction? What kind of distinction is it? I can see some are longer, some are shorter, some are thinner. So there's got to be some reason that. Tell us about how that
right,
works.
So this is the different sizes are called vitolas. It's almost like with wine, you have a vintage, it's the different year. We also have vintages each year. The cigar is going to taste a little different even when it's the same blend because of the production of the crops for that year. Mm-hmm. So we do have different vintages, but the sizes are different vitolas. So, you know, this is called a petite panatella, a 5x54. It's kind of the ring gauge, the 54 millimeter, 5-inch long is a Robusto. A Toro is 6x52. This is actually your most common, popular size on the market. A Lancero 7x38. So it's a much skinnier cigar, but a lot longer. It's really personal preference. With a Lancero, something skinnier like this, you're going to get more of the wrapper taste and less of the filler because the wrapper's covering more surface area.
That makes sense,
The filler to wrapper ratio is much greater, or much less. So the Lancero, they do all kind of change the taste and the amount of wrapper that you get in the flavor profile. But a lot of people will pick a Vitola just on what they like, the feel in their hands, you know, if they want something bigger or clunkier, or how much time they have. If you live in the Northeast and you're out in the cold and the snow, you're going to want a little shorter, quicker cigar.
I'm noticing this one here with a tapered point as compared to the other ones that are blunted round at the end.
That's just for fun.
Just for fun.
Yeah, it is. It's showing our craft as rollers and makers.
You know, John Wick could probably use that as a weapon.
Probably. Yeah, some of the embellishments we put on these cigars are just showcasing what we can do and that they are a hand-rolled boutique product that have a lot of love and care that go into them from start to finish.
Okay. We're running out of time, so let's do a wrap-up on this.
Sure.
What do you want to tell the people out there where to go, website, places they can go locally, so on and so forth?
Sure. So blacklabeltrading.com is our website, and on that website, we don't really sell cigars from there because we don't want to be in competition with our brick-and-mortar stores and the people that do sell our cigars. We do sell swag. We sell T-shirts, cutters, lighters, kind of things James is creative, and they're all pretty cool, you know, merchandise on there. We also talk about, we give more description of the cigars, show our ratings, and on the website, there is a page you can click on for retailers by state. And so you can go to the different states. If you're traveling, we're actually even in Hawaii starting next month.
Oh, wow, great.
So we're excited about that.
How does a retailer become a distributor of your product?
They just get in touch with us, and we see if it's a good fit. We are looking to be in the boutique market. If your store is full of, you know, the mass-produced, the Monte Cristos, and if it's 90-95% mass-produced cigars, then our boutique product is probably not a good fit for you.
I can see that, yeah.
We're not looking to be in convenience stores or anything like that. We want to keep the product pure and keep it out there. And we sell out on all of our limited editions. As soon as they hit the States, they're sold out to shops. And then as soon as they get to shops, they sell out really quickly. So because we are small batch,
you have a really growing business.
Yeah, we're small batch, limited production. We want to keep that in the right hands and the people that appreciate it. So, yeah, blacklabeltraining.com is our website. Like I said, TJ's in Temple, Tobacco Junction in McGregor, Cavalier in College Station. Those are the closest cigar shops and lounges around. And then also, if you don't like to get out or go find, if you just want to find them online, AtlanticCigar.com is one of our newest online retailers, and they have bought a ton of product from us, and we're excited to have them on board. So AtlanticCigar.com.
Fantastic. Now, when you take a long flight and you're done with your long flight, do you come down, bust one open, and just smoke?
Every now and then I do, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well, Stephanie Varga, it's been a pleasure to have you on. I'm so glad we were able to finally link up here and show what you've got here.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody, you know how to make contact with her, and we've got a link on my website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the radio page, or I'm sorry, go to the Facebook page. There'll be a link there, and check out what she has to offer. Beautiful looking cigars, and they taste great from what everybody says, because I've been around your parties, and they're pretty good. So, all right, everybody, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll finalize the show and take it from there. So we'll see you on the other side.
Connecting the dots one by one. KMIL is 105.1 The Ranch.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We got just a few minutes left here, and I wanted to cover just a few things. I forgot to mention, Crime Stoppers is having a gun raffle, and they've got a handful of guns that they'll be giving out there, whoever wins. And you can get your raffle ticket from Circle S Barbecue here in Cameron. So once again, Crime Stoppers, gun raffle going on. Get your tickets at the Circle S Barbecue and help them out, okay? Now, we've only got a few minutes here. I wanted to read an article real quick. It's a very short article. And if you know me and you've been listening to me, you know I promoted the concealed carry badge. And it has specific reasons for carrying it that I promote. And that is, if I'm on a shoot and a cop comes, I want him to see badge and not shoot me thinking I'm the bad guy. But there becomes a responsibility with that. And I push this responsibility greatly. And basically what I'm saying is, if you're an idiot, if you're stupid, if you're a numbnuts and nimrod and don't use that badge with common sense, you deserve everything that comes to you. Now, here's a news article. Police imposter arrested. A Temple man who tried to take the law into his own hands Tuesday night ended up behind bars. At 11.05 p.m. Tuesday, Temple Police Department officers were dispatched to the subway at North 29th Street in reference to an individual impersonating a police officer. Temple Police Department spokesman Shawana Neely said Oren Leon, 29, entered the restaurant and asked if someone had called the cops while displaying a badge and identifying himself as a police officer. What Leon didn't know is that the Florence police officer was ahead of him in line. Neely said the officer approached Leon and asked, "What department do you work for?" And then Leon simply winked to the officer. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, if you're going to be an idiot with a badge, you deserve everything that's coming to you. That badge is meant for something specific. Law enforcement officers who go through the course and the training and put their lives on the line wear that badge, and they have a right to wear that badge. The concealed carry badge, there is no rule against it, but man, if you're an idiot when you carry it, then you deserve what you got coming. It's designed to put the other people at ease. Badge says good, so when you see badge with gun, people don't freak out. I've done this test 100 times, figuratively speaking. And when you don't wear a badge, people look at you like, what's the deal? You got the badge on, they don't even think about it, okay? So I just want to make that comment. And with the remaining seconds that I've got left here, I had a fantastic time today. All the guests were great. And I will talk to you next week live at the Bell County Expo Center at the Real Gun Show. Until then, keep your powder dry and God bless.